In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm taking the readings from the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I want to give you some background into the prophet Jeremiah at this time, Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem, and many of the captives have gone to Babylon. And this is what the Babylonians have put them in jail, have made them their slaves. And it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Jerusalem. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. They carried away so many of the Jews captive, where? To Babylon. And then they said, sing us a song. Sing us a song, the songs that you used to sing in Jerusalem. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" Listen to the next part of this. It's so important. "If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." So we hear that the captives in Babylon cannot sing the Lord's song. They are forever sorry and sad. But Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem with the rest of the people that are there. And he is saying to these people, they're going to be captive for 70 years. And this is what I begin with, Jeremiah 38:4. "In those days, the princes said to the king, Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city." What is he saying? He is saying 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. He is saying more captives will be taken to Babylon. He's telling them the truth, and he's telling them why. Because they worshipped on the mountains. They worshipped Baal, and they worshipped Asherah. And God had them brought to Babylon. And in Babylon, they hung up their harps on the willows because their captives asked them to sing them songs. They couldn't sing. They were sad. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So Jeremiah is left in this city, and he should be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city, and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of the people, but in the ruin. That's not true. He's just speaking the word of God. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. But the people take it this way. He is speaking such things to them and is not interested in the welfare of the people, but in their ruin. Over and over and over, Jeremiah warned the people before they went to Babylon that they would be brought captive if they didn't repent. And there was no repentance. They continued to worship Baal and Asherah. King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power. He is in your power. He is in your power." For the king could do nothing with them. And so they took Jeremiah and threw them into a cistern of Prince Melchiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. This is what Jeremiah gets for telling the people the truth. They put him in a cistern, and he's up to his waist in mud. This is the suffering of the prophet. This is the suffering of the prophet. I tell you, prophecy, when it is real, will cause the prophet to be suffering because people don't want to hear the news of the reality of what God is saying. Because God is saying, you're going to stay in Babylon for 70 years. The people don't like that. They don't like that at all. They want to put Jeremiah in a cistern, and they do. And they goes, he sinks in the mud. And Jeremiah sank into the mud. This is like Psalm 40. I waited and waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me. The Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp, and he set my feet upon a rock. He made my steps firm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was the first time the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, Tommy, you could be in the deepest mud hole, but I'll always be there to pull you out. I found it to be Psalm 40. I waited, and I had waited, and I waited for the Lord, but he stooped toward me. The Lord today is stooping toward you. The Lord heard your cry. The Lord is delivering you today from the pit of destruction. The Lord is delivering you from the mud of the swamp. The Lord is setting your feet upon a rock, and his name is Jesus. And he's making firm your steps today, 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 not tomorrow, today. God is at work today. And he's going to put a new song in your mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on you and be in awe and trust in the Lord. Now, what better thing is there than people looking on us and trusting in the Lord? Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. Though you are afflicted and poor, the Lord thinks of you. You are my help, Lord, and my deliverer. O my God, hold not back. Let me tell you, this is the cry of a poor person. But the Lord says, I heard your cry, and I'm going to draw you out of the pit of destruction. I'm going to take you out of the mud of the swamp. I'm going to set your feet on a rock. Hallelujah. And he's going to make your steps firm. And he's going to put a new song in your mouth. Yes, he is. A new song in your mouth. A new song in your mouth for the glory of God. A new song in the Lord for the glory of God. A new song in the Lord for the glory of God. I was sinking in the mud, but he gave me a new song in the Lord for the glory of God. Oh, yes, he's putting a new song in your mouth for the glory of God, for the glory of God, a new song. I tell you, this is the Lord. He has something planned for you. He has something wonderful for you. But you must endure being in the mud hole today, and he's going to pull you out, and he's going to make all things work together for the good, because you love God. You have been called to his purpose. A new song he puts in your mouth, a new song, and he is there for you. He is there for me, and he will help us. Oh, yes, he will help us. I tell you, the prophet suffered. Poor Jeremiah. Put into a cistern and mud up to his waist. So, so sad. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, the king, my lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. Jeremiah will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city. Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. I tell you, God always gives someone the light to help the prophet. We saw with Elijah, the woman helped the prophet, the woman, the widow at Zarephath. We saw with Elisha, the woman helped Elisha. And oh yes, we saw that her oil and her flour expanded. Glory to God. I tell you, the Lord always finds someone to help the prophet. But that doesn't mean the prophet doesn't suffer. We have Jeremiah in the cistern, waiting and waiting for the Lord. And then the Lord comes. The Lord comes, and he draws him out of the pit of destruction. He comes and draws him out of the mud of the swamp. And he puts a new song in his mouth and his feet upon a rock. And he made his steps firm. Oh, yes. I tell you, this is what God does to the prophet. He not only suffers, and God doesn't make the prophet suffer. The very nature of prophecy will allow the prophet to suffer because the prophet is speaking words that people don't want to hear. The people in Babylon are going to stay 70 years. And what did they say to him? What did they say of Jeremiah? He is speaking things to them, and he is not speaking words of comfort. He is demoralizing the soldiers that are left in the city, and all the people are speaking such things to him. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but the ruin. That's not true. He's just speaking the word of God. Oh, sometimes, friends, it's very difficult to speak the word of God, because you have to say, oh, look at the deficit, and look at the law of killing children. I tell you, it's all going to what? Fall in. I tell you, we will hit a great depression in the economy. Oh, yes, because we cannot continue making debts. We cannot continue making debts. And yet, who is warning us to be ready for the great upheaval in the United States of America? And if the United States of America goes into the drink, into the mud, I tell you, the whole world will suffer. The whole world will suffer. The whole world will suffer. Who is warning us that this administration has no idea of what is happening? Who is warning us that we cannot make debts that are so high until we cannot pay the interest out? Who is warning us? What bishop do you hear warning us? What priest do you hear warning us? What minister do you hear warning us? Warning us of the very collapse of the United States. But not only warning us, but saying this is Jesus. When he comes, when he calls, he's with you. If this happens, he's with you. And he's not going to leave you nor desert you. This is Jesus who promises to be with you always, even unto the end of time. Jesus will be with you during the collapse of the economy in the United States. I had a vision many years ago of the Titanic sinking, and I knew it was the world economy. I never even knew there was a world economy. And I knew that there were lifeboats, and that was the church. And the church were called to get the people in, and they didn't know how. Oh, Jesus, teach us how to get the people on the lifeboat, because you are the lifeboat. The cross is the lifeboat. Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, because he is the lifeboat. He is the lifeboat. And then I'm reading now from Hebrews 12, 1-4. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, yes. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Abraham, Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Pius X, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us rid ourselves of every burden and every sin that clings to us and persevere. That's the word. Persevere in running the race. What race? The race of faith. Persevere in running the race of faith that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Where are your eyes? Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Running the race of faith. always keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. I tell you, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the one that we keep our eyes on when we are in trouble, when the nation is in trouble, when I am in trouble. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are worthy. And thank you, Jesus, you are able to help us when we are in trouble, when we are in the mud, when we feel like there's no help. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, crucified, died, buried, and raised from the dead. Oh, yes, keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn your face to Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of the world, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. Where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? Are they on your trouble? Then you're going to sink in the mud. Are they on your lack? Then you're going to sink in the mud. Or are your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? The next line, for the sake of the joy that lay before him. Who is the joy that lay before him? You and I. We are the joy that lay before him. For the sake of the joy, you and I, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. And he hears and answers prayer. Let me tell you, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father on the throne, and he hears and answers prayer. Then it says, consider how Jesus endured such opposition from sinners, that he went to the cross, that he was spat upon, that he was whipped, that he was scourged, in order that you might not grow weary. Consider the opposition from sinners. Consider the cross, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, not yet in America, but in Egypt, our Coptic brothers and sisters are shedding their blood at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, yes, churches are being built and they are being burnt up in Egypt. Yes, Protestant brothers and sisters and Catholic priests are being killed in Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood. We have not yet resisted until shedding our blood, but in Nigeria, they are shedding their blood at the hands of many Muslims. I'm telling you, we are the chosen, frozen in the United States. We don't know what it is to suffer for our faith, but you know what? The day is coming. The day is coming. The day is coming for us to suffer for our faith. The day is coming. What would it mean if the nation said, if you are a man or woman of faith, you will not get your check at the end of the month, your Social Security check? I wonder how many would give up their Social Security check rather than worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I tell you, the days are coming to the United States. Consider how Jesus endured such opposition from sinners that he was raised high upon a cross in order that you, me, may not grow weary in losing heart. Don't lose heart. I told you, he comes and he takes you out of the mud and he puts your feet upon a rock, and the rock is Jesus. Please don't lose heart. In your struggle, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. We give you the people in Egypt that are dying at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, yes, we give you the people in Nigeria, in China, oh, yes, and throughout the earth that are dying for the faith. Oh, they are our brothers and sisters, and we are their brothers and sisters, and we need to pray for them because they are giving up their life for Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, churches are being burnt down. Brothers and sisters are dying, and where is the message being proclaimed? Who's proclaiming the message of our brothers and sisters who are undergoing great persecution now, who are undergoing persecution for the name of Jesus? Who is telling us to remember them in our prayers? Who is telling us to keep them in the front of our hearts? Yes, Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most precious blood of Jesus, have mercy on our brothers and sisters that are dying for you. Precious blood of Jesus, we bless you, we worship you, we adore you. Have mercy on our brothers and sisters that are giving their life for the sake of your name, Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus, anoint those people who are giving their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What have you given up for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What have you given up for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, we hear that the Lord wants us all prosperous. That is just part of the message. I tell you, there is persecution in store for the believer. There is persecution in store for the believer, and we are going to see that tomorrow when we look at Luke 12. There is persecution in store for the believer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face, and the cares of the day, they will all disappear in the warmth of his glory and grace. Lord, we give you the persecuted. We ask you for grace. Oh, Jesus, as they suffer, give them grace upon grace, and may they see your glorious face. Let us remember our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for the name of Jesus. Let us keep them in our prayers. Let us keep them in our prayers. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts and into the hearts of those who suffer persecution. Pour forth, we believe, you are pouring forth your grace into our hearts, that we, through whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by an angel, may by his passion, cross, and resurrection be brought into the glory of his resurrection. Through Christ our Lord. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills for July. I know you're on the beach. I know you're on vacation, but our bills keep on coming in. Some people have been very generous, but still we owe money for July because we borrowed money and we gave the money back that we borrowed. So we need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus today, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, and raised from the dead. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.